Hi, welcome to Visual Studio Toolbox. I'm your host, Robert Green, and with me today is Joanna Mason. Joanna, welcome.
Hi.
Thanks for coming on. Tell us a little bit about yourself, and then we'll set up the show.
So I'm a program manager for the Blend and XAML designer in Visual Studio teams. So I have a group of program managers that I work with, and we create all the great visual authoring tools for not only Metro apps, but also WPF, Silverlight, and Windows Phone.
Excellent. So you're here today to complete the quadfecta. This is part four of a four-parter. In part one, which was three episodes ago, I showed how to use the Visual Studio 11 to start building Metro-style apps with XAML. And then I followed that up the next week with building apps using HTML and JavaScript. No design, just how to use the tool, mm-hmm. showed the templates, etc. And then last week, Karupa was on to show us Blend for designing HTML apps.
Mm-hmm.
That was really cool stuff.
Yeah.
To put the pressure on. And then you're here today to show us how to design XAML-based apps.
That's right. Yep. We'll go in through a couple different workflows of using both Visual Studio and Blend, kind of show you how they work together and mm-hmm. when you might want to use each product.
So in Visual Studio 2010, the current version for customers, but of course for us the previous version, there were two XAML designers. There was one inside Visual Studio, also known codename Cider, mm-hmm. And then there was Blend. So you could start off in Visual Studio, you could pop over to Blend, and they worked pretty well together. In Visual Studio 11, there's still that scenario. There's a XAML designer inside Visual Studio and Blend, but it's now all one code base, right?
That's right. So this release, what we've done is we've merged together the teams and the code base so that we can provide a consistent experience for a core, what I call core authoring.
Okay.
So in Dev 10 and in Blend, there's a certain set of things that were provided in both tools. You could create elements from the toolbox, you could draw them out, you could interact with them on the design surface, you could edit their properties, those kinds of things. Well, those are just basic.
Mm-hmm.
Any kind of authoring that you want to do, they're just things that are more efficiently done visually on a design surface. And even if your focus is more code-centric, you're really focused on the XAML, you're really focused on how you're structuring your code, if you just want to move something around, the gesture is the same. Pick it, move it around. So
right.
By having a shared code base, what we've done is we've now allowed to have the same user experience for those core authoring scenarios across Visual Studio and Blend. And you get a couple benefits. So one is the user experience.
Mm-hmm.
Another is that we're using the same parser and renderer. So there were cases in Visual Studio 2010 and Blend 4 where, you know, it would actually look a little different in Visual
Ooh.
Studio. It would render differently than it did in Blend. And, you know, for most people, they'd say, well, why would that be? That doesn't make any sense. So
right,
along with the shared
XAML.
Yeah. So the way we're interpreting everything and the way
right.
we're rendering it is all equivalent now. So that's
usually
is,
won out.
Well, I don't know if anybody
when
wins.
Actually ran
I don't think
the
anybody
app,
wins.
When you ran the app, which one had it more correct?
The runtime,
is there any data
yeah.
on that? There probably is data on that,
you,
but we're probably not sharing
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah. So that's that. And we also, another really exciting thing about the shared designer is that we now have the same implementation of the design time extensibility model. So what that means is, so for people who are writing their own custom controls and they want to create, say, a custom property editor or maybe some custom adorners on the design surface to work with their control, a lot of third-party control vendors do this kind
mm-hmm.
of a thing. Now we use exactly the same APIs. So the real benefit is actually on the Blend side here because there was APIs that Visual Studio 2010 provided that Blend didn't support.
Okay.
So now for the design time extensibility, and I say that specifically because we don't have all the extensibility that Visual Studio has in Blend, but we have some of it. Now they're equivalent. So you know that the design time experience you create for your controls will be the same in Visual Studio as it is in Blend. So that's pretty
cool.
A pretty good benefit of that as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Show us.
Should we get started?
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to start out. You know, we talked a little bit about, you know, some people ask, well, you know, you have some tools in Visual Studio and Blend, and how do I know what to do? And there's a couple different things. You know, different people work differently. And we want to provide a set of tools that allows people to work how they want to work. Maybe you work in a more design-first way. You get a comp, you build out the layout, the visuals, the interaction model, and then later somebody hooks up the code behind, right?
That's what I do, totally.
Yeah. But other people, right, they say, no, I got to get my, you know, I'm using a very strict data model, I'm using MVVM, or whatever the code really is how I want to structure my app. Then you might want to start more in a code-first environment like Visual Studio. Then there's some people who sometimes we call them the hybrid. I call them the elusive hybrid at times. And those are people who really work across both. Sometimes they're sort of code-first, sometimes they're design-first, and they want to flow between the two products. So we really provide both products to support all those workflows. So what I'm going to show today is a little bit in Visual Studio and some in Blend and highlight some of the similarities and the differences. And then it's up to people to decide what works for them.
Okay, I was lying when I said I'm a design first guy. I'm totally a code first guy.
So I'm going to build out a Metro app. And so I just did create a new project and I get some choices. Mm-hmm. And these are the new project templates that are delivered with Visual Studio 11 beta. And they're great because they give you a way to get all of the things in place in that template so that you can make sure that your app really looks and feels like a Metro app. So it has all the styles and resources and some controls and some navigation behavior that really helps you get that look that you want. So I'm going to choose a grid application because I don't want to create everything from scratch. And that's going to load up. And I'm going to kick off a build, and let's look at what, you can see in the Solution Explorer here some of the files that were created. We'll just take a quick look at those. I'm going to open this grouped items one. So the designer starts loading, and it says, well, you can continue working, so I'm going to do that. And what I'm going to do is, I'm in Visual Studio, so this is a first example of something that you can do in Visual Studio that we don't have tooling for in Blend. And this is editing the package, the manifest. So in this case, close that off. I want to just make my app look a little bit more my branding, whatever my branding might be. And so I have just some assets here. I'm going to do like I've done a memories demo before, like in build and that kind of thing. So I'm just kind of using that same graphics. So I'll choose a logo. Then I can go down here, choose a splash screen. And I can do other things in the manifest, like say, since this is going to be app that'll show some images. So you could add your capabilities so that you can access pictures, or maybe later I'm going to have a file open picker, that kind of thing. So once I've got that all set up, then I'll just go back and look at my app a little bit. So right away you can see I have this design surface, right? And I have some nice features where if I press and hold this space bar, I can sort of pan.
Wow.
And that's a really nice way to move around, see what everything. But then if I want to just zoom out a little bit, I can just use the mouse wheel and kind of get a nice view. So the other thing, so I've got this, I've got the grouped items page, another page called group details page. It has some different things in it. And what I'll build out is I'm going to restyle it just so it looks a little different, sort of my own, like a little different background color. And we'll kind of mess around with that, maybe add a little custom logo and, do that. So there'll be like a design element that I'll build out in Blend. Okay. So let's get some of our application structure in place. So the first thing I'll do is I'm going to add a new item. And I'm going to add a basic page. And so this is going to serve as my new background that will kind of host that group detail and the item detail page. And so I'll just call this my main page. And the basic page is also a template, an item template, that allows you to have access to all those styling and that Metro style look that you want. So let's say, I'm not somebody who really wants to work with a visual designer. Well, that's okay, because, you still want to work with XAML. So if you just want to come into your XAML editor.
What I want to do is I want to train myself to never again type in XAML.
I want to train myself
to do only designer.
the nice thing though, I have to say that there are times though, I'm obviously a big proponent of a visual designer because that's what I do. But I also am a big proponent for using the best tool for the job. So if it's more efficient for you to type in XAML, you should be able to type in XAML. And so we provide things like IntelliSense to make it easier for you to type in XAML. So of course you get full IntelliSense. So if I just want to go in here, add some, properties, and say, okay, fantastic. You get your rectangle, you don't have to do anything else. But because I really like designers, as do you do, I'm going to say, you know what? No, I'm going to take advantage of all the awesomeness that the designer gives me. So let's start doing that. I'm going to show a couple other panels here. This is the toolbox, which many people are probably familiar with, and the document outline. So for people who've used Visual Studio 2010, you'll notice some differences already. So this looks quite different than it did in 2010. And you have some new features like showing and hiding elements, that kind of thing, right from there. And that's great, actually.
It's way less cluttered in keeping with the simplification theme.
Oh, very good. So the really cool thing about a design time environment like the designer in Visual Studio on Blend is that you can do things that don't affect the running application. So when I turn off that eyeball, I have not changed the visibility at runtime.
Right.
I'm just showing and hiding things. It makes it easy for me to get at what I want to edit, when I want to edit it, and I don't have to do a bunch of hoops and be like, oh, wait, I have to go turn that back off because my running app, I don't want it to work that way. And so there's a bunch of sort of design time features that way. We have for containers, you can set design time width and height, so you have something that's auto-sized when you run it in the runtime, but that at the design surface, you want to give it some width and height so you can see everything.
Right.
So we have features like that. All right, so let's start designing some of this out. I'm just gonna, you know, I don't really need this My Application bit. And I'm just gonna add a little bit more structure here. I have this grid and I can group it into another grid.
I love this feature.
Right? That's, yeah, it's pretty handy. You can ignore that bubble, it's a bug.
I love that feature.
And so I'm gonna call this one, you know, frame root. And I just double clicked to rename. I mean, I could also right click to rename if I so desired. You know, for people who've been doing XAML applications for a while, you know, you have to have something named layout root.
Right.
I don't know why, but you do. No. It's, you know, where all my things are happening.
Does that have to be called frame root, by the way? Or
no.
Okay.
I just called it that because I'm going to put a frame element in
it
later.
Well, I didn't know if you had snippets that expected there to be frame with an E as opposed to frame with an R.
Oh, no. But later, I am going to create something called master frame, which does require, because I do have a snippet. Okay, so I'm going to use a background image. And I have that out in my handy assets here. And this is sort of a nice little radial gradient that has some transparent pixels on it. So I'm going to make my property window a little bigger. And so I have all my properties for the selected object here, just like you did in Visual Studio 2010. But it looks a little bit more like the Blend property editor.
Yes. And so if you changed your theme to dark instead of light, it would look even more like Blend.
That is very true, yes. So here I can just go ahead and say, you know what, I want this to be a tile brush, and I'm going to choose that image that I just loaded in. And I can see it sort of, but I want to make the grid above it a little darker so I can kind of, so it pops out better. So I'll go ahead and just, I don't know, make it. What I end up with at the end of this may or may not be attractive. I have to tell you right now. Okay, so so I have this. And let's say I think, you know, this is about the best blue radial gradient I've ever seen. And I want to use it again later. So one of the real nice features is that I can go right to that brush, say convert to new resource, and say this is going to be my application background brush. So I save that off, and then I can reuse it later.
Right.
All right, so I've got my background. I've got my frame root. So now let me just add a little bit more in here. So I'm going to have a button up here that I'm going to use for some navigation and to display my logo. So I want to use the hyperlink button. And so I can just start typing. And this is actually a new feature of Visual Studio 2011, which I love, which is the search. Blend's had that for a while, but it's nice to have that here too. So I can just double click. And then let's just zoom in a little bit. And here we go. So now this is something that you didn't have in Visual Studio 2010, is template editing. So I can go in and edit the template of my hyperlink button. And you'll notice what happens is the object tree now shows me the elements in the template, not in the main tree. And I can say, you know what? I'm not going to use any of that stuff. And I'm just going to throw a text block in here, and I'm going to write some instructions for later. So pretty simple. Now I want to go back to my main main tree. And I do that by clicking
there it is.
This little button here. So now I'm back up. I see my whole app. So I've got the place to put my logo. And I don't want, I'm going to put that logo sort of in this top row here in the grid. And I can just easily, you know, resize that, yay. Or if I know I want it to be a particular value, I can just set it there too. All right, so then I told you that I was going to add a frame. So I'm going to do that. We'll pop that over here. And look, it's awful small. Good thing I can zoom in. And this is one of the most useful tools in the entire designer is reset layout all. And what that does, as you can see here, it just kind of blasts it off. It's sort of the secret,
nice.
Right? It's the secret feature that everyone should use because it's really great. I mean, if you want to have that WYSIWYG and you want the designer to set everything for you, it does the right thing.
Because that is one reason why people shy away from using the designer. When you drag from the toolbox onto the design surface, you get a whole bunch of properties that you wouldn't necessarily want. So that's
I mean, really, what it'll always them, just right? set your sort of top left. So like, let's just say I added another frame. So you know, you can see here, and I can actually make this. Is that better if it's bigger?
A little, yeah.
You know, it is going to be setting. That was my fault. Undo works. It's always a good thing. So it is setting margins and things as you move it around. And of course you can, you know, change the layout here as well.
Right.
So if you wanted to type in values specifically.
But if you wanted to just get rid of all of those properties.
You just do that reset layout and it just says boom.
That is not tied with the automatic grouping for my favorite feature.
There's another one later I think
cool.
you might like too. Okay. So all right, so we have my frame. And let me just check my cheat sheet here. So the one thing that I need to do is I want to tell my app, you know what, when you load, I want you to load that main page that I just created, not the grouped items page, which is what the default template does. So to do that, I'll just open up the app code behind. Mm-hmm. And in the, make this a little bigger. So in the on launched, I have this navigate function, which I'm just going to change to main page. So that'll say load that up.
Right.
All right. So we're not quite done though, because what we want to do is then when that main page is loaded, we want in that frame area to host the grouped items page. So I'm going to open up main page.cs. And this one, I have a little, before I do it, remember I told you I needed to call it master frame?
That's right.
And then I didn't, but I remembered, so that's a good news. Okay, so I'm just going to use a snippet so that I don't have to type on demand, which is never fun. So that's just basically saying, you know, when I navigate to the main page, load the grouped items page. All right.
So in terms of the Metro style design, does it care whether you have a master frame and then swap out the views
inside, or
change from one
to
another.
This pattern may or may not be one that you really want to employ. I mean, I think there's some different, this is one that I've been working with a while, but I wouldn't say this is absolutely the most, you know, the only way to do it. I mean, there's lots of different ways. There is flexibility there for how people want to do it. A good place to start is to use the templates.
Yeah.
Right, the project templates and the item templates that are available, you know, crack them open, look at how they're structured. Later, we're going to take a look at the data model that's in this template.
The benefit of the master frame is that if you are always showing the logo and the button at the top, you only have to do it once.
That's
you don't
right.
have to do a lot of copy and
There are
and
some
paste.
Things that you have to do. In here, I'll be sort of duplicating this background.
Yeah.
You'll see it in later. But yeah, I mean, it's one way. That's kind of why I did it this way for the demo. But.
Okay.
Mostly what I'm demoing here is the tools,
right.
Not necessarily giving guidance on an app just for today.
Yeah. Right.
Okay, so I've got my master frame. I've got everything hooked up. And, I know what I wanted to show you. So this is kind of cool. So let's do that. So you might have noticed that when I select items on the design surface and the hyperlink button that it's going to sync right in the XAML, which is great. So we have all, you know, things are going to synchronize between the XAML editor, the design surface, and the document outline. So that's really nice. So if you want to find things or it's an easy way to navigate around. But another feature that I wanted to highlight is, you know, when I select an object, I get its properties over here. But I can also select something that's not in my document outline, like a brush, and get all its properties.
Cool.
So it's kind of a cool way. So, you know, I was talking about there's some things that are just easier to do visually, you know, dragging and moving things around. Well, there's also some things that are easier to do with a property value editor, right, rather than typing in XAML.
So now that you're showing me all kinds of cool things, here's my first instance of asking for something that may or may not be in there.
Okay.
Right-click on semi-bold and go to definition.
Oh!
Can you do that?
On semi-bold, though, you don't really want to do it. We do have...
Because that could be located in the... It could be located here. It could be located in common. It's possible there are some things that are just built into the runtime that you're not allowed to see, like application background.
You might have actually... I think that...
We're not done yet. There's still time to slide it in. Your team will kill me, but...
No. I'll take that back. Yes, thank you. Okay. Yeah. There is some nice hookups here where you can kind of go back to code behind and things like that. But I could just not be remembering, but I don't think that there's a quick way to jump to resources in here. But you know what there is actually? No, you know what? See, you're making me go off script. Very scary. This is cool, though. You can do it. That takes you to the brush. So... Let me do that again.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm on the layout route, and I say, you know what? I have this resource, but I don't know where it's defined.
Okay.
Take me to that resource. So you can go to the property inspector and say, go to source, and then it'll jump there. And so what I was just trying to, and I should just know this, but I don't. So let's just see. So in theory, it's not there. So it would be great if it was there.
Okay.
Yeah. Great suggestion. All right. So that's what we sort of call XAML sync. So I can select things that aren't necessarily in my document outline, because my document outline is only showing me sort of objects, things that are UI elements. Mm-hmm. So if you have other things that you can edit their properties just specifically in a property value editor. All right, so I have set up my navigation. I have created all my structure. And I think, if we're feeling lucky, Let's see what it looks like. All right. Fingers crossed. So you saw my splash screen came up really fast.
Yep.
Here's my background. As you can see, it's looking really attractive right now. But hey, and then you can see when I click into here, I get that same background.
Right.
Fantastic. Okay. So I've got all that set up. So now, you know, so we've done quite a bit in Visual Studio, right? We've written some code, we've hooked up some things, we've added some structure, we've built out a template for my hyperlink button, and now I'm going to go over to Blend and design the logo where it said design logo here.
Okay.
So we'll go in here and just open up that project that we've been working on. And so Blend has some more features around editing paths and adding animation. And so we're going to add, you know, we're going to add this logo, do the visual design, and then maybe make it come to life a little bit with some interaction on it. So here's the hyperlink button that we created. And I'm going to jump right into the template. And actually, while I'm doing that, I'll show you. So one thing that we didn't have an opportunity to add to Visual Studio was what we call the breadcrumb bar. So this little guy up here is the breadcrumb bar. And so this isn't available in Visual Studio, which, you know, interesting to hear feedback from people, see, you know, if they prefer it with or without the breadcrumb. But be it as it may, there is no breadcrumb in Visual Studio. So I'm going to use it to jump into that hyperlink template. I'm going to go ahead and get rid of that placeholder text block that I had. And I'm going to just start roughing in a new design. So I'll make it, you know, I know what size I want it, so I'm just going to type it right into the property inspector, 400 by 100. I'll grab over in the toolbox the rectangle tool, and I'll just start drawing out a design. So I can easily draw it out with the tool. Now I just want a copy of exactly the same one. It's easy to do. I'm going to grab my tool again and just kind of create out a few more. That's not very pretty, but we'll fix it up in a sec. Just sort of drawing, you know, kind of roughing it out, and then I can grab my tool and move things around until it looks a little bit better. Like I said, I'm actually a program manager, not a designer, so which will be evident at the end. So here I have just a kind of a rough design, and let's do some colors. So I'm going to make it kind of orangey. And these guys, I kind of want it to be similar to my background color, but maybe a little different. So I'm going to grab my eyedropper and just grab a blue and then kind of make it, let's make it darker.
Okay.
Something like that. And then I can just use this handy last color feature over there. I want this orange one, you know, I can do that. Grab this guy, his last color. So.
Excellent.
There, my logo looks pretty good. Another kind of cool feature that is actually in both products is if I hit select all right now, it's going to select all the siblings of the currently selected item. Makes it super easy to now go. So now I'm going to say, and I can do editing on multiple objects at once. So I can choose the stroke brush and just clear it. So now they don't have a stroke around that. So that's nice. So I'll pan over. I'm going to just add some text to my header. So this is going to go along the top of the app. So we'll add some text and just kind of draw that out. Freeze. And let's draw out another one. You know, you get the nice WYSIWYG text editing so you can see kind of what you're looking at. You know, I kind of want both of these text blocks to be black. So since I just want black, I can just type black. So that's kind of handy. Just sort of highlighting some of the different ways that you can work. So remember before I was talking about how, you know, some things are easier to edit in XAML, some things easier at the design surface, some things easier to edit in a property editor. And I think text is one of those things that just nice to have a category editor that sort of groups all of those properties together in sort of a familiar way.
Yeah.
So, you know, I can choose fonts and then I get a nice preview in this dialogue about what the font, you know, is going to look like. And I can select that, or I can choose a larger size or italic. Mm-hmm. So, all right. So I think at this point, that's going to be good enough for me from a design on the logo perspective. So like I said, you know, we have the visual design, looks pretty good. So now we want to have some interaction. So when I'm interacting with the app, I want my logo to do something. So let's do that. I'm going to jump back. See, I've been sort of navigating in and out of the template using the breadcrumb bar. It's pretty handy. So I want the user tool to interact with this area here. And so since I want them to interact with it as a whole, I'm going to group that into a grid. And I want to make sure that when they're hovering in this area, it does the same thing as if it's hovering over in this area. Okay. So I'll just set the background of that grid to a color, but then I don't want to see it because it's ugly. So I'll just set the alpha value of the color to 0. Now I'm going to move over to my states panel. And the states panel is only available in Blend. It's not available in Visual Studio. And it shows me all of the different states that my hyperlink button can be in. And so when the user hovers their cursor over my logo, I want the logo to grow in size a little bit. So all I do is select that pointer over state. And you can see here it tells me I'm in recording mode. I'm going to jump down to my transform category, pick the scale tab, and just do add a little scale. So now when I go from normal to pointer over, it gets bigger.
Yeah,
yay.
That's nice.
But I don't want that pop, right? I want it to be fast and fluid. So what I'm going to do is add a little bit of a duration to that state transition. So I'm going to say, you know, like a little bit less than a second. And I want to see that. I want to preview it on the design surface. So I can choose this little button here called Turn On Transition Preview.
Mm-hmm.
Again, a kind of a wonderful little thing that then shows it animate in.
Cool.
So I can kind of get a feel for that. Okay, so I'm happy with that. Now when they click on the logo, I want it to spin in like a 3D kind of way. Very exciting. So, but notice pressed state doesn't have that nice scale on it. So I really want to start from a scale and then make sure it's rotated. So I have this great feature, and this is one of those things, it's tips and tricks. If you right-click on a state, you get a menu that says copy state to pressed.
Nice.
Now when I go to pressed, it has the same values already. So it's sort of an easy way to get from one state to another without having to retype all the values that you just did. So it's like, I want this state to start from here, and so it's really nice. All right, so what I want to do is when they press it, I want it to transition.
If you change that from 1.1 to 1.2, you have to change it in both. They don't sync if you change the properties, do they?
That's right.
Okay.
You'd have to change it in both. Mm-hmm. All right, so what I want to do is there's the state. So when it's in the press state, I do want it just to look a plain logo. But when I first click it, I want it to rotate. I want it to rotate during the transition to pressed, and then I want it to stay, right? Okay. So what I can do is I can add something called a transition to the state, and I'm going to say from star to pressed, from anywhere to pressed, I'm going to do something special, and it drops this thing down here. And now I get a timeline. So the timeline suddenly showed up.
And it knows you have 0.2 seconds because you defined that.
Mm-hmm. So I'm just going to zoom in so I can, I'm going to move my scrubber to 0.2, and I'm going to go down to my projection. So those Silverlight developers are probably pretty familiar with projection. Uh-huh. This gives me my cool 3D effect. So I'm going to have it rotate 360 degrees around the y-axis. So let's go from pointer over to pressed.
Nice.
But that's kind of fast. Like, I want my pop to be big, but I want my animation to be a little slower. So let's see if that looks good. That's better.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that kind of gives you an idea of, you know, I'm really making work on my animations, my design, my interaction model. This is really my focus, right? I haven't opened the code editor. I haven't even had to edit the XAML, right? I'm really just focused on those visuals. And that's really kind of the message of when I want to, you know, when most people will probably choose to use Blend over Visual Studio. All right. So let's double check our cheat sheet here. I have been cruising along. All right, perfect. So I've got my logo. Everything looks great. Now I want to make the rest of my app look a little bit more like this main page. Because remember when I loaded it, it was like blue and then black, and it wasn't very attractive. So we're going to go to the Projects tab, and I'm going to open up. I'm going to save, because saving is always a good idea. I'm going to open up the grouped items page.xaml. So you remember this. So what we're going to do is we want to give it that same background as the main page. So I'm going to use the image and then the gradient, that application brush that I had. So I need two grids to make that sort of layering effect. So I did a group into grid again. Choose this little guy. Go to a tile brush. Choose that same background. Looks familiar. Let's just bring that in a little bit. Oh, looks like it didn't really like to render that very well. Oh. Don't mind me. Okay. So now I want to use that brush that I created. But when I created it, I actually created it in main page. I didn't put it in the application scope. But that's okay, because I can go over to this panel called Resources, and I can see, okay, there's my brush. But I can't access it in my grouped items page, so I want to move it. So in Blend, I can just grab it and move it up to app.xaml. And now, when I go over to here and my properties again, and I choose a brush tab, I can get that right there. Okay, so now, though, there's one more problem. Notice how I'm using the same gradient image, right? But because it's lower, I don't want the same circle in both places.
Sure.
So there's another cool feature that, you know, people may or may not know about. It's sort of one of those little tricks. So notice here I just did, this is the advanced properties. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to grab, here it says gradient tool, but if I click and hold, I can get to a new tool called the brush transform. So I have the brush transform tool, and I picked that. So what's actually selected right now is the brush.
Right.
And I can grab this guy and push him up so that he's, say, I want to do a point like around there. So now I'm going to try to get those two gradients to kind of match up when I run it. You'll see it, they'll flow together because the header and the bottom part.
Can you do this all in design mode, or is it kind of a trial and error kind of thing? I mean, how did you know exactly how far up to drag it?
Because I did it earlier. No, it was trial and error, right?
Okay.
Like, as I'm designing it, you know, you tweak on things, you move pixels around, you move stuff around. I mean, that's really what I'm doing here. But I shortcutted it because I knew that it's about 0.09 negative. But and actually, it's probably not even going to be that. Might be a little off. We'll have to see what it looks like. Okay, so now that I have that kind of looking pretty good, and we'll run it in a second, but I'm going to add a couple other elements before we do that. So the next thing is, so I've got my look, my logo. Now I want to make it a little bit more. I want to hook in some of the Metro style things. I want to add an app bar.
Yep.
So go to my assets panel, choose app bar, and I'm just going to search to find it quickly. And I'm going to drag and drop that right onto the bottom app bar because I want it to show up on the bottom.
Right.
Now notice what happened. I'm going to just clear this out of the way for a second here. See better. My app bar showed up in the bottom, but if I go select something else, it's going to go away. And so this is another example of what I was talking about with those design time environment, is that we've implemented in the tool, in Blend and Visual Studio, that if I select app bar, it shows it for me.
Okay.
But it doesn't change my runtime setting.
Right.
So it gives you that way in the tool to design something without having to mess with a bunch of stuff to get it to show up, right? So we did design time environment like this for things like app bar and for the semantic zoom control, mm-hmm. so that you can switch between the two zooms and things like that. So you can, you know, people can play around with that as they have opportunity. The other cool thing is that I want to point out here is we have the styles area under the asset panel. And this is going to show me all of the styles. So in the item templates and the project templates, there's a file called standard-styles.xaml. And so these styles are actually showing up here. So if I select them, I'm getting all these app bar styles that are really handy to use. So all I can do is drag and drop, and I get the button style with that the Sigo UI glyph right in there, which is pretty cool. And then I'm going to use the always useful reset layout. And I don't want it on the left, though, say. I can just go ahead and pop that guy over to the right.
You know, I'm actually building an app, and on one of the pages, I used all these buttons. Mm-hmm. I wish I'd known how easy it was to add them.
Well, and
because I did all, you know, copy and paste and pop over into the standards.xml, look to see what's in there, come back, forget the name, go back, copy and paste.
Yeah. Well, and you know, the cool thing is like, we've done as much, you know, what we have time for. I mean, there's so many things that we want to do.
Yeah.
And so it's really, when you think about Metro apps, this is kind of like a V1 product for Metro apps. And so we're giving you the same experience that you're familiar with for WPF, Silverlight, and Windows Phone. But we did have to do quite a bit of work. So there might not be all the features mm-hmm. you'd expect or that you'd want. But, you know, that is our goal, right, is that we want to provide a really great authoring experience. So we've tried to do things like this. There's a lot more that we want to do. So, you know, hopefully we'll hear from, I'm sure actually we'll hear from people as what they'd like to see. Okay, so we've got our app bar. So this is also a really neat thing that we've added for Metro app development. So there's this device tab. And I want to make sure my app looks good if it's snapped or if it's in portrait or full or whatever it is. So I can go to the device panel. I can say, okay, show me what it's going to look like in filled, snapped, or portrait.
Mm-hmm.
But notice when I'm in these, it's not relaying out. And that's because the templates have implemented different layout for the different view states, but it's hooked into a state.
Right.
So I can then, so I'm on the device panel and I'm on snapped, go to my states, choose snapped, and then it relays out.
There you go.
Okay, so now this gets even cooler. So now I'm in a state and I'm editing what it looks like in the snapped view. So let's say I don't want the image, the gradient, to show up.
Okay.
Looks a little funny, right? So I'm going to just set this opacity in my state to 0. Oh.
You did the grid?
Yeah, I might have. Let's maybe not do that. Another thing that I can do is I can go ahead and set the background color to something different.
Okay.
Okay? And that's only doing it for the state. So then if I go back to filled or something like that, that color is then the other one. So you can author your states for exactly what you want for each of those write and blend using the states panel and the device panel together.
And as I never tire of telling people, you have to design for snapped mode because your users can put your app in snapped mode.
And they will.
And they will. Mm-hmm. And if it looks like crap, then you have a crappy app.
Right. And this is another example. These are design time settings. I'm allowing you to configure the design surface in a way of how the device can be configured. And there's other things in there you can play around with, like in terms of setting the theme or what the resolution of the tablet size that you want to try to author your app for. So all of those things are available for you. You set it up, do your design, so you can make sure it looks good in all the different configurations. And the device panel is also available in Visual Studio. So, you know, I think that we've got, so there's just really, I can just keep going here.
It's available in Visual Studio?
Huh?
It's available in Visual Studio?
The device panel is, yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Let's make sure we have everything saved. The only difference, though, is is that we don't have the states panel, right? So not exactly, you know, not exactly the same, but you can still have, you know, sort of preview the different sizings and things like that.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to just do one other little editing thing here. Let's go back out. Let's set my device back to regular. I got out of my state. I'm going to just redesign this grid view here. So I'm going to select it. It's a grid view control. And another new thing that we've done that's sort of specific to Metro apps is grid view introduces this new thing called a group style. And so I want to edit the way things are being laid out in that container. And I can just simply go in here, edit a copy of it. It's going to jump me into the template. You can see my, and I'm going to zoom in here a little bit. What I want is I want this header to be at the bottom.
Okay.
So we'll grab the grid, and there's this cool little pop-up menu here, and I can say move row after. Oh. It just pops it right down to the bottom, which is pretty cool. So, so that's great. Now, as I was saying earlier, one of the things you can do in Blend is, let's say I have, you know, I want to design a little selector that shows what group is selected. I'm going to grab my pen tool here, and I'm just going to draw out a little arrow that indicates what group is selected. And let's see here, and rough it out. And then, you know, in Blend I can just kind of say, I don't know if you can see that very well, but I'm manipulating the Bezier handles there just to kind of give it a little point. So that wasn't that attractive. But, you know, you get the idea. And I think the orange is just fine. So we'll stick with that. So now that I have, you know, I've just edited that item container style, I have my very fancy path-based selection item. The next thing that I'm going to show is, you know, I want to show not just group title, but I want to show the subtitle that's in my data model as well. So that's actually in the header of the group style. So I can go into the group style, choose header, edit a copy. When in doubt, edit a copy. It's just a rule of thumb. Because otherwise what's going to happen is you're going to be editing in that standard styles.xaml file.
Right.
So for new ones, you might be messing up your new ones, so you don't want to do that. So this was that other feature I was telling you about. If you like group into, what you're really going to like is change layout type.
No.
But nobody can see, you know, that you just, yes.
Nobody can see my jaw drop.
Yeah. So that's
awesome.
Pretty cool.
Awesome.
So, so now it's a stack panel.
Now I have a three-way tie for favorite feature.
And that is also in Visual Studio, so there you go. And so what I'm going to do is just copy this button and paste a copy. And boom, now I get two. And notice the thing above relayed out because it has less room.
Right.
Right. So automatic layout at play. Okay, so the one thing that we haven't really talked about here much is data binding. I'm not going to go into it in detail, but basically, you know, that property is bound up to the data model that's defined.
Yep.
So I want it to be subtitle instead of title, so I can just go in here and choose subtitle. And this data binding dialog has been reworked in both Blend and Visual Studio since the previous releases. So that does that. It changes the subtitle. Everything's great. All right. One more thing to go, and then I'm finished.
But wait, there's more.
There's one more thing. So let's say the next thing I want to do is, you know, I want to actually see a real image in here.
Right.
Not just a rectangle. So to do that, I'm going to edit my data model. And my data model is defined in code, so I'm going to go back to Visual Studio to do that. So back in Visual Studio, First thing I'm going to do is grab an image that I'm going to use. I'm just going to use sort of, just for the purposes of the demo, I'm just going to use a placeholder image, and so you can kind of get a feel for that, the data model workflow, really. And I didn't want that one. I want Antarctica. So I've got that image, and what I'm going to do is go to my data model folder, mm-hmm. choose the sample data source. Let's make it a little bigger. All right. So you notice here I see all the properties that I've already bound to. There's the title and there's the subtitle. So that's what I just bound those two text blocks to, two buttons. I'm just going to go down to the bottom, and I'm going to use a little code snippet that I have prepared. And that's just giving me another image source, okay. and I've just, it's just hard-coded to that, so nothing fancy.
All right.
But you get the idea. I've added a property. I'm going to do a build, and I'm going to go back to this guy. I'm going to clear some of this stuff off so we can see better. Actually, I wanted to go to this guy. Select that. Oh, I didn't save. Oh, I must not have saved.
Uh-oh.
Let's save all. Uh-oh. I'm going off the grid here. There we go. Wait for a minute. And actually, this could show, well, this is kind of fortuitous. There are still some issues in the beta version, and if something like this happens to you, it can happen.
Mm-hmm.
Where it says not responding, you're like, whoa, what's going on? You can go into your task manager and just kill this xdesproc.
Yeah.
And interestingly, I just put a blog post out on a shameless plug for blendinsider.com, which explains this a little bit more. It's called Mysteries of xdesproc Revealed.
Cool.
So for those who are interested in that. So what that would do is, And then you'll get this, and I can just reload the designer. So
okay.
it's basically a way, what we've done is we've actually implemented a multi-process architecture, which is good
yeah.
because it isolates the designer from the rest of Visual Studio. So in Visual Studio 2010, there could be a situation where user code that was sort of invalid could bring down the whole product. So now what'll happen is just the designer will exception or whatever will happen, and you can reload it. So there's sort of two cases where the designer can go down. One is that there's user code that's doing something kind of
mm-hmm.
bad, and one is that we just have a bug that we've, we fixed a lot of these issues already,
right.
but go to connect and enter them, obviously, if so now everything looks better.
Cool.
Okay, so we've added our data model item, and all I'm going to do here is grab the grid view. I'm going to go into the item template this time, because the item template is where my template for the list, the item source, how I can style my data, edit a copy. And notice I use this all the time where I just click right on the design surface to get what I want. That selects
yeah.
that image for me. And I can then go to my data binding, choose album image, and make sure that everything, demo fail at the very end, but that's all right. It didn't like that. Could have been something with the other one. But believe me that, I don't know why, but the image would show up. But that's basically
right.
how you would do it, is you
okay.
just create your property, bind it up, everything's good. So let's go ahead and run it and see how everything looks.
We're not going to have any members of Antarctica, though?
Maybe. They might show up now. No, they're not going to. So anyway, so you see I've got my background, my gradient's close, but it was probably a little off. You see the?
Yep.
Yeah.
Just
so you
okay.
could tweak on that.
Okay.
When I go over to my logo, it animates it. When I click on it, it rotates.
Cool.
That's pretty much it.
Excellent. That is so cool. So, those of us who have been using XAML for a while
mm-hmm.
learned by typing XAML. You buy a book, it's all laid out for you, so you just type XAML. We've been increasingly, I feel, getting more to the point where you could see using the designer more often.
Mm-hmm.
I think in Visual Studio 2010, you got to the point where you could use the designer more often, but you may have likely just stayed in XAML.
One of the things that we're working on tirelessly is performance.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the biggest pieces of feedback that we get really is about performance. And so we know this, and we're working really hard to make that better.
Right. But what you have shown me today is just a number of no-brainer reasons why I should start using the designer.
Great.
Editing the template. Mm-hmm. So what do? You've got your list view down at the bottom of your XAML, and then all the way up at the top, you have all of your item templates, all mm-hmm. three of them, because mm-hmm. you've got, you know, three grids or three list views. So now you're scrolling up, you're scrolling down, you never know where you're going, mm-hmm. and you spend a whole bunch of time trying to find the XAML, which is, you know, takes up most of the monitor because you're showing a list view with 10 items in it.
Right.
Where here, I can come in, right-click the thing, right-click, edit the template in line. I don't mm-hmm. I no longer have to search through my XAML anymore. I know that I'm setting things correctly. Now I'm using a property grid mm-hmm. for once. I'm telling you.
That's great.
I'm telling you, this is, if you're writing XAML in Visual Studio 11, you have to teach yourself how to use these tools. You mm-hmm. finally have to bite the bullet, because there's a learning curve, obviously. It'll take some time to figure out where everything is. But once you learn that, your productivity is going to skyrocket.
I think it does. And that's why I sort of said in the beginning about, you know, if you want to work in XAML, work in XAML. But there's a couple things that maybe mm-hmm. might be a little bit more efficient for you to do for the designer. I mean, so just because you use the designer doesn't mean you have to use it for everything.
Right.
Right? Use it for what works for you. What is more efficient, what's more suited to be done in a visually or in a property inspector.
Even a simple one like the grouping, right? You've got mm-hmm. a stack panel, and inside that stack panel mm-hmm. you've got three stack panels, and inside those you've got a bunch because your buttons are in stack panels. Mm-hmm. So you have on a page seven stack panels, right? Now you want to change the stack panel to a grid. So go to the top stack panel element and type grid. And now all you see are squigglies,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Now try and go find the end stack panel that you now need to change to grid,
yep.
right? That's 30 seconds.
Yep.
Here, you just do it, you save yourself 29 seconds and all kinds of heartache.
Yeah. Well, and things like, I also think things like aggregate operations where you're changing multiple things at once, like mm-hmm. when I selected all those rectangles, you could do that in VS as well. You can select all the rectangles in the same way, and then, so, you know, changing multiple objects to the same value.
Yep.
Much easier to do by shift select in the document outline or drag it out in the design surface and edit it in the property inspector.
So where's the best place for people to go and learn how to use this now?
I think blendinsider.com is our blog. Mm-hmm. And you know, we have all sorts of content that's being pushed out there, you know, at least an article or two a week.
Are there good tutorials in the help that show you how to do stuff like this
yet? I would recommend, you know, there's a lot of great community content out there if you just kind of search around and look around. Of course, everything that the Dev Center has information, the Windows 8 Dev Center, the documentation on the designer and Blend, you know, hasn't been complete for the beta. So, but what you can do, actually, just for learning how to use the tools, they're the same tools as Silverlight, Windows Phone, and WPF. Mm-hmm. So you can look through. There's a site, actually, it's really fun, called Toolbox, that has a bunch of videos, and they almost make it like a little game to sort of learn the product, and that's going to be focused on Silverlight, but you can use it to learn the tools, because it's the same features.
Right.
So that's what I'd recommend, is don't feel like you only have to find Metro to know how to use the designer. And obviously, one thing I didn't talk about, but the XAML designer in Visual Studio that we showed is available in the beta, Visual Studio 11, for WPF and Silverlight.
Yep.
So you can use these same tools there. I'm focusing on Metro, but the same tools are available.
It's the XAML designer.
Yeah,
XAML is XAML.
Exactly.
Regardless of where you have it. So presumably also for phone or not?
The phone tools have not been integrated.
Okay.
So it's the phone tools are in Visual Studio 2010 SP1,
right.
I think, for Mango.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Great. Well, that was fun.
Yeah. So that completes our quadfecta of how to get started building Metro-style apps, how to get started building them, how to get started designing them. Lots of great stuff to go learn. I highly, highly recommend that if you're doing XAML, if you're doing Metro-style apps, you need to learn how to use Blend. The stuff Karupa was showing last week was amazing.
Yeah.
The stuff you showed today was amazing. No more typing of HTML, XAML, learn how to use the designer. Yeah. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you. It was good.
See you next time on Visual Studio Toolbox.